Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, June 18th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Dave's here for an interesting conversation we're going to have in just a minute. Also with me today for an interesting conversation, Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there. Yes, I hope to be as interesting as Dave.
I hope to be as interesting as Charlotte. There we go.
We've got standards to maintain here. Go team.
We do.
You're both really interesting in completely different ways, which is part of what makes this is going to make this a very interesting show today.
By interesting, she means weird, doesn't she, Dave?
That's a nice way of. It's an interesting way of saying weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
No, but I don't mean weird. No, that's a separate conversation. We'll have that once we're not recording. The first thing I wanted to talk about today, the thing we're going to mostly talk about today is Apple and their current moves with regards to podcasting and what the state of podcasting looks like now. But first, we have a quick PSA about FaceApp. If you have a social media feed, regardless what it is, you have probably seen a bunch of random pictures in the last little while of people far more aged appearing than they actually are. And most people are doing this with an app called FaceApp. And FaceApp, first of all, like, there were sort of two waves of information that came out about it. The first was, have you seen the terms for this app? Because the terms say that they own whatever picture you create and they can do whatever they want with it. So if they want to take that goofy photo of you looking like a granddad and put it on a billboard, that's totally within their rights because you use the app. Sort of like Facebook, I believe.
Exactly like Facebook and pretty much every other, you know, free photo sharing app that exists out there. Yeah. Or service, I should say, that exists out there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so then that was like the first wave of, you know, this is what this is doing, right? And then the second wave of it was how the company is a Russian company and nobody knows a lot about it. And now I believe today, either late today or late yesterday or early today, Senator Chuck Schumer has said that there needs to be investigation into this because it looks kind of sketchy. So that's where we are with FaceApp. Maybe double check. I remember when it first came out and I started seeing it popping up on social media feeds, I wondered if this was like a Snapchat filter or something. And then when I found out it was a whole separate app, I was like, no, but just sort of, you know, I channeled my inner Andrew and went, this seems like it's sketchy. I'm probably going to pass. And,
you channeled your inner Andrew.
He does have a good filter. He really does.
He does.
That's true.
Hi, Andrew.
There was also a report that came out but was proven false and then retracted that said their license gave them access to all of the photos in your library. That is false. The way the app works, it only gets access to the photo or photos that you choose to use with the app. And then it does send those up to its cloud server, does some magic with it. And this is the second wave of this, right? FaceApp's been out for a little while, but they just added these, you know, old filters and some other things that made it, you know, repop. And they work amazingly well. Like, it's crazy. I stared in the face of my grandfather for the first time in 30 years when I put my picture in there. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
And now the Russians have a picture of my grandfather, really, is what it turns out to be, which is fine because there's other pictures of my grandfather out there. But yeah, the question.
And the Russians have them. It's a whole separate story we're not allowed to discuss.
Yeah, who is this company is really kind of the question, because the terms of service are bad, but not all that different from everybody else's.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as I understand it, that, you know, if I upload a picture to Facebook and Instagram, I know it's there. They have the rights to that photograph. That photograph is, as you describe, on their cloud servers and so on and so forth. What's entirely different here?
That we don't know who the company is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't know anything about the company that's doing it. That really, that's the biggest difference. Is that,
yeah. I've seen the kind of, it's been interesting to watch the waves of all my friends posting up that picture. Mm-hmm. And then everyone's posting the stories, highlighting the issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what's interesting is if your friends took those pictures and posted them to Facebook or Twitter or wherever, now not only do the FaceApp people have, you know, perpetual non-exclusive rights to use those images, so do Facebook and everything else. And look, yes, they could take this and put it on a billboard, right? Mm-hmm. But because the terms say that they can make money with it. But let's remember that a company like Facebook especially makes money from ads that appear on their page. In order for you to be able to post a picture to Facebook's site, they have to put that in their terms of service. Otherwise, they couldn't put ads on the same page as everything else you see on Facebook. And then Facebook probably couldn't be free for all of us. I'm not necessarily saying this is a great model, but it is the model that we as consumers have accepted. So yes. While the contract or, you know, terms of service or privacy, whatever you want to call it, is very broad reaching. You know, in the case of Facebook, it's very clear what they are doing currently anyway with that clause, mm-hmm. right? It's you put your picture here, but we also need to be able to put ads and they need to be able to be on the same thing. So we have to be able to say that we can make money with your picture.
Yeah.
The question with FaceApp is we don't know their business model.
Right.
Right. We know
because we don't know them. We don't know who they are or what their deal is or anything.
Correct. So while they basically have been given the same permission that you've given Facebook and Twitter and, you know, Flickr and everything else, mm-hmm. we don't know what they're doing with it. That's the question. And maybe it's nothing. Like it could be nothing. They're just covering their bases because they live in today's world and we all would cover those same bases.
Yeah, so. it's really sort of a 1-2 punch. And I think to the point about Facebook, I think Facebook had to shift the wording of that so that it is what you describe, because at one point they were putting random people's like user photo in advertisements and stuff. So it was like, you know, there were a couple of like, not scandals, but like news stories that came out about like a woman who was happily married, who her friends started seeing her picture next to hot singles in your area, you know, on the side of the Facebook page and some stuff like that. So those have been adjusted.
We've all been there.
But that's like, that was part of it. And I think the thing about this, the 1-2 punch of it is, did you know these were the terms? Because not everybody necessarily has a clear understanding that Facebook has the same sort of terms. So did you know that this is what they're doing? And we don't know anything about who they are.
Right.
So like Facebook is the devil, you know. If you give Facebook a picture, you know, this is, you know, this is what Facebook could do with it. But all my friends and all my family and everybody's on Facebook. So, you know, everybody's on Facebook because everybody's on Facebook. So that's where I have to do this. So that's what I do. And then, you know, but this is a separate thing where like, you know, yeah, they own your, you know, they own your photo, which sounds bad until you stop and go, so does everybody else. And then when you add that to, but we also, you know, as a bonus, we don't have any idea who they are. Or if they have an agenda, or if they are a company that just happens to be Russian, or if the point is that they're Russian, because now, like, we're going to get deep fake videos of Dave's granddad talking about God knows what, you know, like, we don't know.
Which wouldn't have been all that different from what an actual video of him would have been like, because he was kind of a crazy guy, which I loved about him. So there you go.
Well, then, all right. So, so now we don't even, those deepfakes are even more complicated because
he would love this because he was convinced that the government was using cable TV to control our, like the way we thought.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was right about that, but like he definitely was right about that if you applied it instead to Facebook. So there you go.
Yes.
Yes.
So, all right. So, what we've learned today is FaceApp may or may not be sketchy, but we don't really know, which is part of the issue. And Dave's granddad was totally right. So,
it turns out, they have it.
Many years ahead of his time. So, I would like to talk about Apple and podcasting.
Yeah.
From a media perspective, Charlotte, you're a media follower, written a book, and Dave, you are a person who is in, like, literally in the podcast business. The business of podcasting.
King of the podcast business.
Well, some days the king, and some days, you know, just racing down the hill. So there you go. Yep. But yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. So maybe that counts for something. That's, you know.
I think it does.
Not only
I think
publishing a show, but now we publish many shows, but also with Backbeat Media, managing and selling sponsorships and those sorts of things. So yeah, we're pretty steeped in it every day for 14 years. So yeah.
Yeah. So.
And we kind of always associate Apple with podcasting, right? You could argue that they, you know.
It's in the name.
Yeah,
right, exactly. The iPod, they created podcasting. And now what's interesting is they're going into original content and original production. And we've seen Spotify do this. And Apple's obviously a bit like, get out of our yard. We want to, you know, we're going to do this better. And I wrote up a story yesterday that they are having significant conversations. There's no money, as we understand it, changed hands yet. But they are trying to bring in some exclusive content as part of their podcast platform, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah. So here's the part that gets weird, right? Is it makes total sense if you're Apple and A, other companies are doing this, but B, you know, you're Apple and you're creating your own content for Apple TV Plus. You know, they've got their own studios. They are doing their own things. It makes sense that they would then create their own podcasts. Where that will be interesting, those podcasts come out behind a paywall. Right. Which I think they probably will, but maybe not. Right. Maybe there's another plan for this. Who knows?
My understanding is it'll only be through an Apple service, which presumably will be a subscription service.
Right. OK. Yeah. Which makes sense. So where that gets weird, like all of that makes sense to me as someone who truly, totally understands what a podcast is. And, you know, where the industry is currently, the definition of podcast does not include what we just described, though. Right. I mean, the current classic definition of podcast, which is the one we all still currently live with, is something that is, you know, syndicated via an RSS feed and subscribable in any sort of, with any sort of, you know, podcatcher, client, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But that definition, like all definitions, is going to morph as the technology and just society sort of evolves and absorbs this and assimilates this into every corner of it. And so podcast is, and in some people's minds, probably already synonymous with serial audio content. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you know, is a one long, hour long thing about how to, do something. Is that a podcast? Some people might even say that is. But generally, I think most people would agree, even people adopting a new definition of podcasting would agree that it's something that's going to happen again. You know, maybe it's not perpetual, but you know, there's a series and there's multiple episodes, an episodic kind of thing. So if we adopt that definition, then what Apple is doing is a podcast, right? And I think it will be called that. Like, and I'm fine with that. I don't hold on. Like, I have no emotional attachment to the previous definition. Where I do have a reaction, though, is people do often equate podcasting with Apple. Apple really wasn't the one. They weren't the ones that started it. Other people started. Dave Weiner and Dave Slusher and Adam Curry really are the ones that could all be credited with starting this. They just called it podcasting because they were downloading it to their iPods, and Apple, Steve Jobs especially, jumped right on the bandwagon. But it's fine. Sure. You know, most people don't know the inside baseball, and that's totally okay.
It sounds like broadcast, and you carry it around on your iPod, and so it made sense as a word initially, because totally iTunes was the primary source. So, like, you know, like Dave, you said podcatcher, like that wasn't a word, you know, when this was a common thing. When the iPod had that 30-pin connector and was a white slab with a silver back. Like, oh. In those days, there was no such thing as a podcatcher. Like, you could get them by downloading them to your computer and then plugging your iPod into your computer and then syncing to them to your computer and then taking your iPod with you. That was how it worked.
Yeah. So, but here's the problem, right? When people say, I want to learn about podcasts, a lot of them look to how Apple can like what if I go to Apple and I figure out what they call a podcast, then now I'm doing podcasts and I'm listening to podcasts and this is great. And mm-hmm. I can get all the stuff that my friends have. The problem comes if Apple has their own exclusive paywalled podcast. People say, I want to get into, all my friends are listening to podcasts on their commutes or while they exercise or whatever. I think that sounds like a great idea to distract me, keep me interested, engaged. I want to learn. I'm going to go to Apple. And now they say, oh, cool. I need to sign up for an Apple subscription to whatever it's going to be called, because mm-hmm. I think the names of all of Apple subscriptions change this fall anyway, as they mix and morph and match. But, you know, sign up for some Apple subscription. I'll pay my X dollars a month. And now, in addition to all these other great things that come along with it, I can listen to podcasts. And mm-hmm. they have no idea that there are podcasts available for free out there, or for no money to exchange hands. We don't necessarily consider that free. If right. there's advertising in it, that's the price. True. You listen to the ad. That's how you pay for it. But right. essentially, most people call that free, which is fine. They don't know this anymore. And now, you know, they're living in this walled garden. Now, that's one potential scenario. Apple is usually pretty good at educating people. So I'm curious to see how Apple chooses, if at all, to differentiate this for the newbie. I'm not at all worried about any of us or anybody that's listening to the show, to be perfectly honest, because you already know what a podcast is by the classic definition. So if there's some
at least
new thing
one
that's added,
yeah,
at least one, right? So if there's some new thing that's added, you'll know, oh, okay, that's also a podcast, but it has these other characteristics that are a little bit different, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. My concern is the new person walking in the door, never has heard the word podcasting and wants to do it. What does this do to them? And that makes this very different from, at least currently, what Spotify and everybody else is doing, because right now, general consensus is podcasting equals Apple. Mm-hmm. And of course, Spotify is working very hard to change that. And they should. That's good. That's no problem. So
Yeah, I think a big part of this story is the Apple versus Spotify battle.
Yeah.
I think this is a really big part of it. We've seen, so Apple for years was not a company that did original content. They provided a platform for other people's music, other people's podcasts, sometimes other people's TV shows and videos. That kind of stuff happened as well. And then no one understood what iTunes was anymore. But anyway, that's being cleaned up. But Apple is not, and now we see with Apple TV Plus and a few other things, mm-hmm. Apple is now getting into making original content and taking on pre-existing big players. It's taking on Netflix and Amazon Prime in video. And they've seen Spotify, which let's not brush over quite what a significant change it was for Spotify to start funding original, to A, host podcasts, and B, start funding original ones. That was a big deal as well. If you listen to you know, Daniel Ek, the CEO of Spotify, talking about it, it's clear that was a big deal for the company. And then Apple obviously wants to make sure that people who are, you know, maybe choosing between, say, Apple Music and Spotify, mm-hmm. Have another reason. They don't go, oh, there's better podcasts on Spotify, so I'm going to go for that instead.
Well, and part of that, Charlotte, I think, you might be understating a little. Like, I think it's a huge deal for Spotify to have gotten into podcasting, but I think it's huge twice. Because first of all, having podcasts as part of what they're offering people at all is not music. The whole point of Spotify is streaming music. So adding podcasts to that was a big deal. And then additionally, this was also their first foray into original content. So
became
an original content offering as well. Like, aside from, you know, if we wanted to, we could have this available on Spotify for free, and anybody that has Spotify can listen to it, and that's great and whatever. But to my knowledge, and Dave, you may be able to tell me for certain on this, you can offer your podcast on Spotify for nothing.
You can now. That's correct. And this show is on Spotify. Yeah.
So if you're listening on Spotify, hello. But I think like the original piece of it, I think, is the attention getting part, because like Apple has been giving people podcasts since before, you know, since all the way back in the olden days, in the before times, when people actually knew what iTunes was and what it did and what it was for. Like, that's how far back podcasts go. On the Apple side, is that iTunes still made sense when you did that. And the thing that I worry about with this is the thing it makes me think of is AOL. Like, there are people who were on the internet and there were people who were on AOL, and they were getting two different sets of information, two different experiences, but they both thought they were on the internet. You know, it's just that one was a little different from the other, and people on AOL didn't have any, at least, you know, initially, people on AOL didn't have any knowledge of what was going on in the rest of the internet. The rest of the internet had no knowledge or insight into what was going on if you had AOL. So there was this weird sort of dual ecosystem situation. So when you talk to people, you had to find out, like, do you have an AOL email address, or do you have an AOL address or an email address? They were not the same. It was a whole thing. And that's sort of what makes what I think of is, like you were talking about, Dave, if you're a new person, you know, if your parents or your grandparents or somebody like wants to sit down and start listening to something interesting, how do you, you know, how, if they go discovered on their own, how do they go from zero to podcast listener, depending on, you know, the resources available? So like the podcasts app is free. Apple will give it to you. I don't think it comes installed. So, you know, it, like, is this just so more people will use the podcast app? Is that what's going to happen? These are only going to be able, they'll be available free, but in the podcast app or something. Like, I don't know.
No, I think it's, you're going to have to either have an Apple TV Plus subscription or an Apple Music subscription. I'm almost certain of that.
Yeah, paying for something. Okay.
I think
it makes sense. Yeah.
So I think you're both making fair points about, you know, people understanding and kind of will there be a bit of confusion. But I also think in a world where people know you can watch certain programs on Netflix and certain other things on Amazon Prime and that kind of thing, I think people are starting to understand that different subscription platforms have different content.
Yes, that part I think is good to go, because people know, oh, I need Netflix to get that. I need HBO to get that. And it's a really weird thing when your brain thinks HBO and your mouth tries to say Netflix. Things get very strange, just as an aside. But people grok that concept. Whether they will, how long it will take. Of course, eventually people will grok that with podcasts too. I feel like there's going to be a learning curve to get us there, that this is like Netflix. You know, some of this stuff is here and only here. You can't get it anywhere else. And some stuff on Netflix you can get elsewhere, right? You know, so, yep.
I think it's going to be exclusive. A thing where it's, first of all, it's going to depend on the exclusive. And second of all, I think this is going to be one of those moments where, like you were saying earlier, Dave, I'm interested in what the education level is. Like, is this going to be Oprah has a podcast, and the only way to get it is if you sign up for the service that also has Oprah's TV program? Right. You know, that kind of thing. Is that what they're going to do? Like, Oprah's book club is now going to be, you know, a podcast you can only get if you pay for one of the other services or something like that. And
as a tangent, that's actually an interesting question. We don't know the answer. Will Apple be bringing on board, you know, existing shows, like known shows or known talent, you know, and create, having them create new shows there? And then the real question for me, because Inside Baseball is actually interesting because this is the baseball I play, is, you know, who owns those shows? I mean, I'm certain, but I want to confirm this, but I'm certain it's going to be Apple owned shows that they are just paying talent for.
Right.
You know, I don't think because a different thing would be for Apple to say, okay, we're going to include daily observations in our paid podcast subscription thing, and we will cut you in on a percentage of the revenue that we get from the subscriptions based on how many people listen to your show, which is similar to, say, what SetApp does with applications for people, you know, that kind of a thing. I don't see Apple doing that at all.
No, I don't think that's the plan. I think you're absolutely right, Dave. My reading of this when I was looking into it is that, so the story emerged because apparently Apple executives had held discussions with executives from media companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, is how this emerged. And so I can imagine there being some existing shows that come in. But also, this is clearly meant to be about original shows as well. You know, maybe they want some names so that you can say, yay, now you can listen to this very popular podcast through Apple. But also, I think there will be, in the same way they're trying to do with TV Plus, they will try and have original shows as well.
Yes, I think so. And I think it'll be interesting to see what shape that takes, because, like, they're going to do something. Like, I picked Oprah because, like, people know who Oprah is. You don't have to say, here's who she is and why you care. Now let me show you how to get her podcast. So I want to know how they're going to take on that sort of challenge. And when we find out more, I'll have both of you back to talk about it. It should be
fun. Sounds good.
And thanks, Dave. I learned so much today. Dave plays inside baseball. Who knew?
Well, of this sort. So,
yes,
you know.
Dave plays podcast flavored inside baseball. I had no idea.
There you go. That's right.
So, Dave, thanks so much for coming by today to talk to us about media.
Yeah, my pleasure. This is fun stuff for me, as if you couldn't tell.
Yes. And your granddad. That was also fun, at least for me. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by to talk to us about media. It's always fun to have you on the show.
Always fun to be back. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. Have an awesome weekend. And there will be a show tomorrow. I just won't be around for it. But in the meantime, be excellent to each other.